I'm excited but apprehensive tonight. I'm excited about where we're going tonight, but I'm really concerned, am I going to be able to get it across? So you pray for me that I would have clarity. You hear the preachers pray before they preach for clarity of thought in the preacher and in the people. So let's go to the Lord and pray together. Father, thank you for Jesus tonight, Lord. And you said the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he'll teach you all things and bring all things unto your remembrance, whatsoever I've said unto you. And we're trusting that today, Lord. You said you'd lead and guide us into all truth. And Lord, I just pray that like Nehemiah did, would give the sense, I pray, I could give the sense of the Scripture and just get a little bit to your people what you got to me today and just how practical and yet exciting it is, Lord, and just opening it up. And I pray that we'd be more going out than we were coming in tonight. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. By way of review, faith is believing what God said. Faithfulness is living in accord with that. And we said we're going to look at three areas. I thought, I got to move this over. I'm up. Okay. I thought I was going to go Sunday, not realizing I was up tonight. So Sunday was God's faithfulness to man. We're going to review that a little bit. We're going to talk about man's faithfulness to God, and then ultimately man's faithfulness to man. So by way of review, God's faithfulness to man, not God's faith in man. Remember it says he didn't commit himself to them. He knew what was in them. Although I'm going to show you tonight where he will trust you if you prove yourself. But really, his faithfulness towards man is the result of him being faithful to what he has said, to what he has said, his word. The Bible says, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie. Aren't you glad he can't lie? If he said it will come to pass, bank your soul on it, it'll come to pass. Even if it takes 6,000 years, it'll come to pass. All that he hath said, he will do. Go to 1 John 1. I'll show you. I realize we didn't get to our Hebrews verse, but we will. 1 John 1. I like, because we're talking about just reviewing God's faithfulness. If we confess our sins, verse 9, he is what? He faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's all you need. You say, but preacher, you don't know what I did and how many times I did it. Evidently, you don't know what God said and how many times he said it. Because sin has consequences, don't doubt it. I heard a preacher say the other day, sin is long on promises and short on delivery. And isn't that a fact? But do you know why where sin abounds, grace doth much more abound? Because God is faithful to his word. Because he said, if you confess your sin, not to a priest, pope, minister, or rabbi, imam or otherwise, I will be faithful and just to forgive you of those sins. Now that's hard for us to fathom because we are men. And the Bible says, let God be true and every man a liar. We're liars. I can forgive you with limits. I can have mercy with limits. There's a time when you cross over, but I'll tell you what, it's hard for us to fathom a being with mercy without limits. I'm talking about in salvation. Grace without limits. Only if you're in Jesus Christ. If you're outside of Jesus Christ, you know what you're going to get at the end? His wrath without limits for all eternity. Called eternal punishment. So how does faith, Without faith, it's impossible to please him. Why and how does faith please God? Get Isaiah 43:7. Just give you a thought here on that. Isaiah 43:7. Say, what am I doing here? What's my purpose for living? It's going to tell you right here. Isaiah 43:7. Even everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. That is your reason for existence. Not for possessions. What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Not for prosperity, fame, and fortune. I've been thinking a lot about this football, you know, lately. Tom Brady, the greatest football player. And they had a picture of Y.A. Tittle. He was one of the best of all times. And some of you just laughed at his name and you could care less and nobody even knows who the man is. And in 20 years and in 30 years and in 50 years, they'll come and they'll go. And that which is highly esteemed among men is abomination in the sight of God. And so that's not the purpose for living. Solomon said the duty of man is to obey God and keep his commandments. Our purpose for living is to glorify Almighty God. To glorify is not that you can expand or enlarge God, but it's to magnify God with your life. And here's what faithfulness does. It proves God. And that's how it glorifies God. I'm going somewhere. Faith, listen, faith without faithfulness doesn't do anything. Faithfulness, faith is believing. Faith works for me, but it doesn't do anything for God. So we start with saving faith. Now go to 1 Corinthians 3. I'll get revved up here in a minute. 1 Corinthians 3, I hope. Saving faith. Let's just talk about believing. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there's no difference. If you believe, you're as good as God before the Father. 1 Corinthians 3:11. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. That's the dying part of faith. That's what we've been talking about. Believing by faith for God's provision for my salvation, to forgive my sin, to save me from sin, and ultimately give me a home in heaven, to know him, to live with him forever. That's the dying part. Now watch. Now, verse 12, if any man build. Now that's the living part. If you've stopped at saving faith, and I got to throw this in there, that's what I see in a lot of the modern churches. Oh, that little squeal's not going to bother me. I kind of like their hat on there. If you stop at saving faith, and this is what I'm seeing in this modern church movement, everything is geared toward the lost people. One pastor told me who'd been in it, he said, you're preaching to the imaginary people that aren't there. And God's people are starving. So we rock and roll it and we jam and rap it and we do all that and we dress cool and we look cool and we talk cool just to get the sinners in to get them saved. And we never get past that. And God's people are starving to death. I've found if you aim high, the people that are low want to get up there, amen? If you've stopped at saving faith, well, I'm saved. You've just won a mansion and you're living in the vestibule. Jesus said, I come that you might have life and that more abundantly. Every once in a while, someone will get saved and say, now what? That's what preachers like to hear. Now what? Ephesians. So we believe the foundation is all Jesus, and then we build. Ephesians 2. We're created for His glory. Glory, faithfulness proves Him. Proving Him magnifies Him. Ephesians 2, verse 8. This is our verse. For by grace you are saved through faith, not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. There it is. All Jesus, none of us when it comes to salvation. But what's the next verse? Now that we are created, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. There's a new birth, there's the regeneration, unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. God did all that was required to save us, but now we are to live by faith unto Him, and that's what pleases Him in our lives. Faithfulness is our turn to please God in more than just saving faith. I mean, I'm glad we had a baby. But I hope it doesn't stop there. I hope we can commune. I hope we can grow together. I hope we can live together. I hope we can work together. I hope we can love one another. And that's what a whole lot of churches are doing. That's a whole lot of Christians. Just have the baby. That's all that matters. And you got a bunch of thumb-sucking brats walking around, don't know the Bible from a hole in the ground, living like the devil. And I blame the leaders because they don't even know better. What is faithfulness? It's applying what you believe. I can't separate it from the word loyalty. Go to Matthew chapter 8. Matthew 8. And we're really going to hit on this when we get to man's faithfulness to man. Matthew chapter 8. It's hard to find. Verse 8. Matthew 8:8. Centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I'm a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say unto this man, go. And guess what? He goeth. Boy, that military, you can't beat loyalty. I say this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this. Oh, help us, Lord. And he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said unto them that followed. I picture Jesus looking at this guy when he's saying this thing, and this is what I'm looking for. When the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith in the earth? Verily I say unto you, I found not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. Oh, he was a centurion. And this book likens us to soldiers. And I wonder if we didn't apply a little bit of that more discipline, and we'll go to honoring authority and such. I can't separate faithfulness with loyalty to God. Parents, how many times you want to say to your children, would you just do what I say? Would you just trust me? Now, you ought to be proving yourself, parents, and I'll get on that too when we get to man's faithfulness and man. It's not just faith to those that are in authority over us, it's faith to those that we are authority over and serve. Right? Your faith to the pastor's loyalty to you, our children's loyalty and submission to the parents, and the parents' loyalty to doing their part in what they're called to do. So we tell our children, just do what I say. I've done this 500 times. Just trust me. And guess what? When they do it and they trust us, we are pleased, are we not? That's how God is. He's given us this communicable attribute of loyalty and trustworthiness. He said, why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? The just shall live by faith. And that's what we're dealing with here tonight. There's probably not too many lost people in this room. We're not just dying by faith, we're living by faith. And that's what Hebrews 11 is all about. And it's a great honor, and it's a great privilege, and it's a great opportunity that man could be counted faithful by God Almighty. What a privilege to serve Him. Can there be a greater manifestation? He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Your wife doesn't want to hear I love you. And when you're treating her like bad, your parents don't want to hear, oh, I love you, but, you know, if you love me, keep my commandments. You parents and spouses can understand that. And faithfulness for the Christian is where the abundant life starts. Faith for salvation gets us in to what God did. Faithfulness and living gets God in on what we're doing by His directive, of course. In saving faith for dying, I'm leaning heavily on that doctrine that I'm in Him. In living faith, in my faithfulness in my daily life, I'm leaning heavy on the theology that He's in me. Ever wonder why Him and us and Him, how is that? We need it to get up there and He needs it. We need it for Him down here. I'm in Him. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. God Almighty taking control. This is what the Christian life is. God Almighty taking control of a dead body that keeps forgetting it's dead. Dead to sin. No, I'm not. Yes, you are. Alive unto God. In saving faith, we trust God. In living faith, He trusts us. I'm going to show you that in a little bit. In saving faith, God becomes resident. In living faith, He becomes the president of the residence. And every believer has to decide, how do you want to live? And I personally think a lot of ones that grow up in this place and leave, they just don't want that. We take it kind of serious. It's hard to get away with murder here. It's hard to fit in. If you're just wanting God as part of your life and not your life, it can get uncomfortable here. And if you're going to go, just go, but don't squawk of, oh, they're this and they're that and they're this and they're that and they're. We're what we've always been. Do you want to live by faith? Do you want to live the abundant life? Do you want to live on the edge? Literally, do you want to need God? That's what we're talking about. Do you want to live by the supernatural? Do you want to know, not knowing what will befall you? By faith. Crossing Red Seas in your life? By faith. This is getting a little tough here. Lord, I believe, help my... Walking on water in your life by faith. Stopping the mouths of lions. Do you know a lion? By faith. Being... You know that thing says sawn asunder? Does that sound like a great act of faith to you? But needing God and seeking God, that's the abundant Christian life for the believer. Or do you like the mundane, faithless, nothing? It's called the comfort zone. It's called all your ducks in a row. Our flesh likes it, I'll tell you that. Take care of it yourself. No need for God. No miracles, no clinging, no seeing Jesus. I heard a preacher say, knock me off my chair, my biggest fear is not to fail. My biggest fear is succeeding in something without God in it. So let's look how faith works beyond salvation. Genesis 18, that was the introduction. And it'll be a short, well, I don't know, I better not say that. No time to lie up here, right? Genesis 18. For the next few minutes, that means three where I grew up, you know. I'm going to bring you along today. I feel like I'm pulling the boat on dry land, but with his help, I can do it. Genesis 18, 19. I know the feeling. I sit out there when some of you guys preach too. Verse 17. Oh, this is lovely. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? You ever have something that you just got to tell? That's what God's saying here. Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him, for I know him. Whoa! That he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord and do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken. God always makes the, we're talking about faith now and faithfulness, and here's how it works. God always makes the first move. He got an idea. He wants to do something. He wants to do something in your life. He wants to do something in my life. He wants to do something for his kingdom. And here he sees this guy that seems to have some character, have some dedication, and he gives a directive that requires faith or a commandment. And he accompanies that commandment with a promise. All right? Go ye therefore in all nations, teaching them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, baptizing them, and lo, I am with you always. Okay? You go, I'll be with you. You trust, I'll provide. You give, I'll give. Okay? He calls, he sends, he requests, he commands, and then he gives an opportunity to please him by faith. Consider Noah. Noah. God looks down at this world and said, this place is a mess. Why did I ever create it? Genesis. Why did I bother? I'm going to wipe them all out. But you know what it said? It said Moses found what? Grace in the eyes of the Lord. And then the next verse says this. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. That was before the flood. And he says, hey, Noah. Yeah? Build an ark. A what? Well, I'll give you the plans. It's going to rain. It's going to what? It had never rained. The mist came up from the ground prior to the flood. It's going to what? And you know what Noah did? And I say to one, doeth this, and he doeth it. And God writes about him in Hebrews chapter 11. Noah. And for 100 years or so, he preaches righteousness and builds an ark like a kook, made a fool of himself. He moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness of God, which is by faith. He believed God, he prepared, and God got in on his life. Listen, listen, listen. What appeared to by the world to be a waste of a life. What a waste. You're building an ark, and it's going to what? Rain. Water's going to come out of the sky. Okay. The nutty religious people. That's who we are. In the short run, it appeared by the world as a wasted life. In the long run, he condemned the whole world. And God leaves a token For all humanity, for all times, in all places, I do set a bow in the cloud. Because he pleased God by faith. And that's what we do when we are faithful. We prove him. He gives a directive. He gives a command. There's a thousand of them in here. And I'll assist you in doing the seemingly impossible. Prove me. Prove me now herewith, saith the Lord, if I will not open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing that there should not be room enough to receive it. You believe it? And we step out and he steps in. That's where I want to be. That's where I want to be. I don't like having it all figured out. I mean, I my flesh does. I like having backup plans, and I'm still not sure after 25 years about not passing an offering plate. I can't think about it. Now, if you want to live the mundane, live by sight, don't preach to nobody, play it safe, have three backup plans that's not going to count for nothing for all eternity, help yourself, but faith pleases God. And that's where the Christian gets satisfied. Oh, you'll still go to heaven, but it won't be an abundant life. And in 50 years, it won't matter nothing. Abraham, yeah, get thee up out of thy country and from thy kindred unto a land that I will show thee. Where's that? Oh, I'm not going to show you that. It wouldn't please me if I just told you the way everything... Aren't you glad he doesn't tell you the way everything's going to pan out? You wouldn't have got in. Faith, Abraham, is I give the directive, I give the promise, you step out, I step in. And it's not all... This is important. It's not all glory and glamour and surrendering to a mission field. Go to Hebrews 11. Let me show you something. Let me tell you what pleases God in your individual life. Doing what he wants you as an individual to do. Bear with me. 20, verse 20. By faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. Yeah. How many did he win to Christ? How many did he baptize? Did he plant a church? By faith he blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith, Jacob, who was a rascal, when he was a dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worship, leaning upon his staff. And he gets a spot in there and he pleased God. Then we get some big stuff going on. By faith, the harlot Rahab. I mean, was that a big... Yeah, come on in. You can hide in my spot, and it's over. And she gets a spot in the hall of faith. What I'm saying is don't. If God, I know God wants you to get to the next level of faith, but don't underestimate where you are right now is where he wants you. By faith. That's what our daily walk is. Lord, what would it be today? I'm looking for the one that says, by faith they sojourned. Yeah, verse 9. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob. Okay, so they went around living in tents. Really? What's God got you doing? You working? I'll tell you what. You mothers are in my Hebrews 11. I was talking to a brother the other day, and man, just are we doing anything for God? Are we accomplishing anything? Is God happy with us sitting around and eating chicken wings and while the world's going to hell? And I meditated on that for days, and I thought, you know what? 25 years ago, God gave us a vision to do something. Remember, he that hath established you, he that promised, he will do it. And you know what he did? In the meanwhile, he gave a lot of you a vision for your families. Because we were losing kids by the droves from our churches. Do not underestimate what God has done in this place with this mass of young people that are trying. I saw them up there singing tonight. I said, hallelujah, by faith. By faith, some of you left positions. I did. And I'm not saying, oh, bless God, he's going to provide. I went out in fear and trembling. I looked back at that dark building that night with the lights on, and something to me said, are you out of your mind? You're passing up this offer? Oh, you step first. You step out, he steps in. You're going to go to that nutty place over there with all the vans in the parking lot. Homeschooling, what's that? How do they get any social skills? God, we got enough social skills, don't we? Come on down, man. We got a big old family of I don't know how many hundred. Listen, if you're doing it by faith, God is pleased. Well, I'm not a missionary, says who? Your kids are going to the field. Your kids are going to Moldova. Your kids are singing in the choir. Your kids are in the public school. I'm telling you, don't underestimate. God is pleased by faith. And it's not all glamour stuff either. They were sawn asunder. Hey, Abraham, you and that old wife of yours, you're going to have a son. Now, this gets comforting. And what did they do? The same thing we do. They laugh. I'm glad they laughed. Because they're still in there. God will work with you. Oh, but what about the ramifications of the stupid decisions? Yeah. But he's still in there. Go forward by faith. I'm glad they laughed. Really? God ever told you to do something, you kind of laugh? The year would have been 86. Jenna was born 1/17/87, is that right? Okay, so this isn't long after that. I was making about $45,000 at Kodak, and at Kodak, every dollar you make, you get 50 cents for benefits and all that. So that's, and my wife was soon catching up. She was a teacher in the public school. Jay and Linda were watching Jenna. Linda was watching Jenna. I was working with Jay, and so Nikki would take Jenna out there to their house, and man, I'm reading this about giving. And I remember the day I said, and the plan was for her to leave work eventually. Oh, their parents were thrilled about that. Paid her way through college. And this kook comes along, gets saved, and said, man, a woman's going to be a keeper at home. Hallelujah. I believe it by faith. And I said, now, where we were, Catholic Church, vowel on your last name, you gave a dollar. On Christmas, you gave two. In fact, the joke was, I've told this before, my wife would always say, when the offering basket was coming, one or two. If I was feeling spiritual, it would be two, usually one. And I said to her, I'd like to start giving $20. And she goes, I'm not going to be working forever, you know. I'll never forget that day we gave $20. I can still see the scene. They had the nurseries up on that second floor. She was bringing, you know, the young couple. I used to go with her then, you know, come on, let's go get the baby. She's going to be a missionary. And someone gave us a big old bag of baby clothes. I said, whoa. Then it was tithe. Then it was giving to missions. Then it was preaching on the street. And all those things, that's just where God had me. And you know what? There's nothing like living a life of faith, knowing that we're pleasing God. Now, what are you doing that you need God for? We get a lot done on our own. Faithfulness. Faithfulness. Hebrews 11. Look at some of these guys. 5. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, was not found because God had translated him, for before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. And he called him up. I mean, it breaks all the rapture theories and everything else. You can't go to heaven before Jesus. You know what Jude said? He said, he prophesied, saying, the Lord's coming with 10,000s of his saints. And he never came in Enoch's life as long as he lived. But God called him up because he pleased God. He walked with God. Are you walking with God? Look at verse 13. These all died in faith. This is a message in itself. Not having received the promises. Whew. See, brethren, oh, I don't know if it's ever going to come to pass, but will you die in faith? Not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off and were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims in the earth. And that's the biggest hindrance, one of the biggest to faithfulness. We don't like to be weird. We don't like to be oddballs. We're worried too much about what people think instead of what God thinks. We're too worried about what the unsaved family is pleased with instead of being worried about what God is pleased with. Faithfulness is radical abandonment to what people think about us. And that doesn't mean be an idiot on purpose. A directive with a promise, and he says, your move. Verse 23. I could preach a message on every one of these. By faith, Moses, I'm going to put in there parenthetically, parents, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents. You know what separation and sanctification is? It's by faith. It's faithfulness. Come out from among them and be separate and touch the... Now, I do not apologize for guarding my children from this wicked world. Unapologetic. Man, they used to... Oh, where's the social skills? You're going to deprive your children of social skills. Bring your 2-year-old and put him on the front row when you teach me about parenting. And I'm not bragging saying I was the best parent, but all these psychobabblers, they know so much about raising children. Bring your 3-year-old, bring your 5-year-old, bring your teenager, and we'll bring ours. And we'll do a little We'll do a little Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. Prove us. And I don't say that arrogantly. I say it faithfully. We, by the grace of God, are better than they. We got more wisdom. We got more stability. Our marriages are better. Our kids are better. Woo! I'm sticking with Jesus. You want to put your faith in that system? You know what Moses, it says by faith. Oh, so they hid him. Don't knock your parents hiding you, children. And then you know what he grew up as a teenager? Pharaoh's daughter said, "You're my son." "No, I'm not. Don't call me your son." He said, "I'd rather suffer reproach." He stood up to the guys at work. "I'd rather suffer reproach with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season." You know what I think? I know some of you love movies. And I'm not knocking that. It's easy. It'd be easy for me to knock because I can't pay attention long enough. But you just love sitting down and love that suspense and love the action and love the storyline. You know what I think? I think that's how God looks at a life of faith. When you read Hebrews 11, he must just say, "Look at these guys, sojourning in tents." Yeah? "They're trusting me. Isn't this exciting? Look at those ones. He's looking for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. And these all died in faith, but they're still trusting me." And we wonder why we get blessed. He loves faith. Moses. He kills a guy. And he says, "Hey, I'm gonna kill the firstborn, Moses. I want you to take a lamb and kill it and smear the blood on the doorpost." Really? How about preach to the multitudes, or I don't know. No, take this, and he starts with that. And as you watch, you know, Moses, he's hid of his parents, and then he refuses to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. And then it's the Passover. You follow that storyline in Hebrews, and by the time it's over, he's crossing the Red Sea. And the reason sometimes we don't get to big stuff is because we're not faithful in the little stuff. And I'll just tell you, I'm not going to preach a message, but it's just a fact. Read it for yourself. He that is faithful in the unfaithful and unrighteous mammon, God is not going to commit to him the true riches. He that is faithful in that which is little, and the Bible, when he's speaking of that, is finances, is not going to be faithful in that which is much. God is not going to take us to the next level until we believe and act on where we are now. Amen? By faith. And you look at his life, he's up and down. And I'm praising God for his mercy. He's up and down. He's all over. It gets to the end. You think by now, he'd be walking on the water. And what does he do? He blows his cork, and God said, "You blew it again, dummy." Some of you ever got that pet name from God, dummy? Amen. Go to Matthew 17. "These all died in faith, not having received the promises." The guy blows his cork, and goes, "You ain't going in. Yet." See, where sin abounds, grace doth much more abound. "And behold," verse 3, "there appeared unto them Moses and Elias." He did get in. He did get in. Woo! You know what you're going to find in Revelation chapter 11? There's two witnesses in there. And I think it's those two guys right there. What is faith, preacher? God says to this one, "Go," and he goeth. He saith to this one, "Come," and he cometh. He says to this one, "Do this," and he doeth it. Wow. As simple as that. Our job is to discern what that is. Now, we got a Bible full of the will of God. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus, even your sanctification. We could preach a whole message on that, but we won't. Lastly, 1 Timothy 1. Let's look at Paul. Get something in the New Testament. See, when you are faithful, then God will entrust you in spite of our mess-ups. Verse 12, "And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me," yep, "for that he counted me faithful." Counted me faithful. What did he do because of that? put me into the ministry. And if you watch the life of Paul, he starts on the road to Damascus. He's blinded. He said, who is it? He goes, I'm Jesus. And he said, Lord. And not too many people say this, what would thou have me to do? And you know what the Lord said? He said, go over there with that guy. I'm not going to tell you. Here we are with the movie again. Why just let it all out? Why not have a little suspense? Why not have a little action? Why not have a little faith? Why not need me in this thing? Go over there and talk to those guys at the church. The guys I've been trying to kill? Yeah, those guys. And I'm blind? He don't know what these Christians are like. They might be retaliating against me. And he goes there, you know what he does? And we'll get to this next week, faithfulness man. He gets under that authority and he sits with those ones for a while. And then immediately he goes out and he starts preaching because God said, you're going to stand before kings and the Gentiles and the Jews. And he's blinded and he goes over here. I say to him, go and he goeth, do this and he doeth it. And his blinders are cleared. He goes there and then he says, okay, let's go to the next step. And that's what the Christian life is, a life that's pleasing, pleasing to God. God gives a directive with a promise. You don't have to wonder and say, well, God, I'm waiting for your call. There's a lot of them in there. Given, it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. There's one. You know that one that says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee? Anyone know what the first half of that verse is? Anyone got that memorized? Where is that verse? Hebrews 13:5. Just for fun. That means he's going to go with me wherever I go. Amen, it sure does. But look at the first, look at the context. Joshua, to go along with your message. Let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Let's stand. No invitation tonight. We'll just close her out, give you a good night's rest. Faithfulness, our faithfulness to God, dying in faith, living by faith. You know, if you said, well, my dog is faithful, my daughter is faithful, my wife is faithful, you're thinking loyal, loyal. Let's be loyal to our God. Now, Sunday, we'll talk about the way God has orchestrated and ordained this thing with authorities and faithful to those above us, below us in this world. Let's pray. Any practices or anything tonight, guys? No. No setting up chairs, nothing? Yes. Yes, prayer request.